Hands make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's worthy. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not ashamed to say I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you tonight. Amen. Thank you, Brother Padgett, for the invitation. And we count it an honor to be back here at Men's Retreat in this time of year and great gathering of men and ministers and people of God. I appreciate Brother Padgett's burden for this gathering and this meeting. Amen. And the supporting pastors that support this men's retreat, I think it's very worthwhile. I remember our past times together, and I thank God for the strength that they provided for us. Amen. And we're here again to somehow ask God for continuing help in our mission and in our journey. There's more to do. We've got to get the job done. We've got to get the job done. Praise the Lord. And God has brought us together for such a time as this. And God has confidence that by the sacrifice He made and the provisions He provides, that we can get the job done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we appreciate the Lord, and we feel very honored to be here. Brother Padgett said things have changed some. The area has grown tremendously since I've been here. The chairs are much more comfortable. That's the last time I was here, so you can endure a little more time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. More comfortably. And but we thank God that there's still apostolic ministry and apostolic men. Thank God for apostolic ministry and apostolic men. Praise God. Thank God for apostolic ministry. An apostolic man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And everybody say praise the Lord. You may be seated. The Lord bless you tonight. I'm still under the influence of the preaching I've already heard in this men's retreat. Amen. Last night, I was so blessed to be able to understand that my celebrating the good was not out of the ordinary, but it was all right to do that. It, to me, every day is a good day to serve the Lord. Every church service is a good church service. Every prayer meeting is a good prayer meeting. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. Every time I get to sit and hear preaching and teaching, it's a good session for me. Praise the Lord. And I feel blessed and thank Brother Alvar for telling us that no matter what the world says and the hyped up religious world, it's all right to celebrate what God says is good. Amen, amen. And then Brother Rowley, thank you for your message this morning that we don't have to live in the shadows, but we can step out of them. Walk in the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And not be ashamed and take what we have from the Lord and go with it and resist the devil and all the evil forces. Praise the Lord. And then Brother Alvar again, amen, with that service today, preaching to us on our attitude and our reaction to when preaching becomes personal. And it will get personal. Apostolic preaching will get personal. I'm not going to hang around an apostolic preacher very long until it gets personal. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I grew up in the apostolic church. I don't apologize for that. I think it was a great honor. And I was privileged to be raised in the apostolic environment. But I had them get personal with me. Amen. I became their subject when there was no other subject. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And had them come down and stand in front of me and say, you know, point their finger. I said, all right. And then I was taught to never have a bad attitude about that. My dad taught me years ago, he said, the worst thing that can happen to you is for God to take you completely off the heart of a preacher. And never give him a burden or an unction to preach to you. So we developed the saying, preacher, preach to me. I've got to be saved. Is that how you feel tonight? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering of praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, I wanted to be a blessing this evening. I've asked the Lord to help me, and I just want to help somebody else. This is not a really place where we can be complacent or just treat it lightly, but I think we're on business for the King, and it's just no telling what God will develop from this men's retreat in the hearts of you men that are here today in future days ahead. And so it's important that we take it seriously. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible tonight, I want to draw a few scriptures out of the book Gospel according to St. Mark. Praise the Lord. Chapter number... Let me see. Now I'm going to go to Luke first. Luke. Let's go to Luke. Amen. Chapter number 18. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. And let's read verses 31 through 34. Praise the Lord. And he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Man, that's powerful information. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day, he shall rise again. That was some powerful information. Praise the Lord. That was new, cutting edge. Praise the Lord. Information. Praise the Lord. Then the Bible said, and they understood nothing. Nothing. None of these things. Praise the Lord. One writer said in Timothy, he said, there was a group that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here Jesus delivers a cutting edge, amen, Bible class, and nobody got it. It was just like, duh. Everybody say, duh. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. I think you spell it D-U-H. And if it's spelled different, then use my spelling tonight. Everybody say, duh. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. I I enjoyed almost too much Brother Alvear last night when he was talking about some of the situations that I could relate to, probably all of them, but some more in particular. He talked about his band, amen, and his church. Praise the Lord. And that's just part of the operation, you know. We have music, we have a lot of things that go on in the operation of our apostolic church. And music is a part, but it's just a part. And many things, it takes a whole lot of different things going on to have church. Praise the Lord. And all that we have going on, if we're not careful, we'll miss the most important thing. And that is that visitation of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. What does God want in the service? To me, it's important to even know what kind of song He wants. How fast He wants it, or even if He wants one at all. He may not even want a song. Praise the Lord. He may not want a Hammond organ playing tonight. Praise the Lord. I was hearing Brother Alvear make a plea in his voice last night that God would endow him with organ playing abilities. And I was glad that really the only reason I can play a little bit is because my mother made me learn when I was about 10 years old. And she never did play music, but she knew when I wasn't. And if I tried to sidestep my lessons, she gave me some correction and I got back on track. But I thanked her recently for doing all that. I said, Mom, I want to thank you because we're blessed in Akron Apostolic Temple to have always had a pretty good host of musicians, you know. And in my realm there, my place, I made myself the fourth string organ player. I'm the fourth string. If you look at first string, say, you know, position, well, I'm the last. I'm the fourth string. And so it just happened to be that I am now the official organ player. I permanently dismissed the first string organ player. Amen. And so the second string organ player came one night and went to get up on the platform, and I stopped him. I said, whoa, whoa. Praise the Lord, brother. He said, praise the Lord, Elder. I said, missed you Sunday night. Oh, he said, you know, I'm sorry, Elder. I said, I meant to call you. I said, just have a seat right down there. Praise the Lord. And so I started looking around for my third string organ player. And of course, one of my little situations there is, if you play music, you got to pray before you play. So I noticed that my third string organ player wasn't in the prayer room. And so he looked up, I saw him coming up the side, and he looked at the organ, saw it was empty, and started, I said, oh, hey, come here. He said, you need me to play tonight, Elder? I said, where was you in the prayer room? So I just woke up late. I took a nap. I said, you sit down there. And I said, guess who's going to play the organ tonight? Four strings taking over. How long are you going to play the four strings? Until I get ready to decide somebody's got enough sense to get up there and play it and do what's right. Duh. See, you don't get it. If I say, if you miss church, you got to call me. Duh, you got to call me. You know, there's a phone number and a phone book. If I say, musicians, we want you in the prayer room before you get on the platform. Duh, you get in the prayer room. Just because you can play a B3 Hammond don't mean you got a right to bypass the prayer room and bypass calling your pastor and bypass doing what you got to do. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. See, school is in session here tonight. Duh. School is in session here tonight. Really, I got inspired to preach this from a three-year-old grandson. He told my wife to go get him some strawberry milk, and she was ignoring him, and he said, duh. I said, hey, honey, he's trying to tell you, you ain't getting a message. Praise the Lord. That's their little, it's this new deal, you know, you're not getting a message. I said, that sounds, well, I'll just use that. And school's in session, you know, and we go to church to learn something. We go to church. You go to men's retreat to learn something. I don't go to church for a social reason. I don't go for any other reason. I go to say, Lord, can you teach me? Show me. Put me on the cutting edge, God, of divine information and anointed preaching. And put something, God. Hey. God's in this place tonight. You can be seated. So sometimes I get up like I am even tonight and I look around and see if there's any lights on. Duh. Brother, it gets pretty dim sometimes. It gets pretty dark. Hey, listen, you don't have to advertise when the light comes on. You ain't got to have your sign say, I'm a light. And that's why I don't believe in telling people when they get the Holy Ghost that they got it. Because I believe if you get it, if you get what I got, the light comes on. And it ain't, duh, you got it. It's I got it. You may be seated. I had a meeting a while back, and the evangelist was preaching. He got there praying somebody, and he got the person, hey, he said, listen to me. You got the Holy Ghost. And they said, huh? Praise the Lord. No, if you got it, and the light comes on, we're going to know it. Praise the Lord, everybody. One of the frustrations in the world of education today, I talked to a school. I got a school teacher in my church, and she was telling me that one of the most frustrating things of her teaching is to teach people that don't want to be taught. To teach kids that don't have any desire to learn. Knowing that some of the lesson material I'm giving them, if they don't get it, they're going to be messed up the rest of their life. Praise the Lord, everybody. So she was telling, and it is important in the course of being in class. And I say, no, if I told our kids at home, I said, you know, y'all going to school. I said, you got to go to school. So if you have to go to school while you're there, won't you just go ahead and learn something? Just, you know, duh, learn something. Learn something about mathematics. Learn how to do your English. Learn something about geography. Learn something. While you're there, you got to go anyhow. So while you're there, learn something. Don't try to be some kind of an idiot. Act like you know something when you don't. You keep asking them to repeat the lesson until the light comes on. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you right now, I have been in situations of learning where I didn't get it when everybody else was getting it. Amen. I wanted to, but somehow they were smarter, they were sharper, they were more attentive or something. But I said, I do want to know it. And so I had to go beyond beyond being embarrassed to raise my hand and ask the question. Would you run that by us one more time? Would you tell me again what that equation was, what that formula was, what that meaning was? Would you run it by me again? Thank God for the teacher that didn't try to embarrass me, but said, hey, folks, listen up. I'm going to run this by you one more time. Thank God for a preacher that comes by and says, hey, I'm going to tell you again. I know you heard it yesterday. I know you heard it last. And I'm going to tell you, somebody, the light didn't come on. Duh, we're talking about going from this world to the glory world. Somebody shout hallelujah. Maybe sure. The Bible does say that wisdom is the principal thing. But he said, when you get wisdom, therefore get it. But with all your getting, get the light on, duh. Amen. It's not just a matter of saying I'm apostolic, but why are you apostolic? Say, I'm born again, but why are you born again? There's a mission. There's a purpose. There's a message. There's a concept. Sometimes we don't get it, or we just say, duh, because we don't understand the concept. Jesus is talking to his disciples, hey, I got a concept here that you never heard before. He said, behold, listen up. Praise the Lord. We're going to Jerusalem, you and me, all of us. And everything you ever read or heard that was written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man is going to happen in just a little bit. All your life you've heard this prophetic teaching and preaching and lesson. And guess what? We're going to go see it all accomplished. Now, I'll tell you what, folks. And they're looking at him, you know. And said, now when the Son of Man gets there, he's going to be delivered to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spitted on. They're going to scourge him, kill him. But the third day, this is cutting edge information, decided. The third day, he's going to rise again. And he stopped. He stops and looks and says, duh. No lights came on. I get so aggravated sometimes preaching to people when no lights come on. You know, it's Brother Javier mentioned a person. We all have some people in our churches sometimes that over respond to preaching, but it's such an excitement to get a response. That I don't even try to temper the over-respondent. I said, man, I tell you what, sometimes you got to do check some things. I had one man that got way out of line responding, and Lord Jesus, he used some language to describe how much he believed when I was preaching. Kind of threw it. He turned the light on, blew a fuse at the same time, brother. One of them quiet Sunday morning Bible classes. Just teaching, you know, and I had to jump on Bill Clinton about what all he was doing, why he wasn't no good, and what all he was doing, and he jumped up over there and said, you're blank right, Elder. I said, oh my God. I didn't chastise him, I didn't rebuke him, I didn't sit him down. I just went back and said, if it's that good, I'm gonna run it by him again, praise God. Hallelujah. Run it by him again. He jumped back up and said the same thing. You're blank right, Elder. I said, all right. I mean, lost control. We had to kind of close the service. And people were losing it. And he didn't show up that night. And they're getting tight on me. I said, if you folks don't start responding, I'm going to tell you how right I really am. Praise the Lord. Duh. Hallelujah. The people that never do get it. Come on, man. We're here to learn something. something. We're in class. We're in session. We're not just wasting our time. Holy Ghost in the house. Anointing's in the house. And the master teacher's walking through and wanting to give us a concept, an idea, a lesson. Somebody will say, hey, I got it. The light's on. I got it. Woo. Don't make them pull it out of you. Get the light on. God, open up my understanding. And holler out, I got it. Somebody praise him right now. Somebody praise him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. And they understood none of these things. Absolutely nothing. It's frustrating, man, to give somebody cutting edge information and they don't understand nothing. That's where you got to get to where Brother Alvear was saying today. The ministry has to start getting personal. You know, one of the qualifications, one of the qualities of ministry is that we have to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Praise the Lord. I don't have no trouble with the doctrine part. And I sure have to work on that long suffering part sometimes. And really, I think the apostolic ministry does pretty good. All of us men that preach and pastor, we put up with a lot of things. Sometimes longer than folks watching us think we ought to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, recently I was trying to help a helpless case. Amen. I had a real on my hands. And it started being a dove when he was about 12 years old. Now he's 35, 36, and he's still duh. I said, Lord, I think this is just one of those cases where the wires will never get connected. There's no electricity. There's no generator. This is a real duh. God said, you can't save no does. Praise the Lord. I said, what chapter is that in? That's in my book, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hardly can a duh be saved. Praise the Lord. That ain't about right. That is right. You got it. The light's got to come on. Had him promise me. He. I don't know how many times. Brother Meade, forgive me. I'm going to do better. Well, he knew he was on my last nerve. Amen. About 15 years. Amen. And so he actually made a move he never made. He got on the front row and got him a Bible and looked like he was going to pay attention. And so I said, no, this might be interesting. They said this guy ain't got the capacity to get the light on. Well, we'll just see. Give the man a chance. Man, for a while, boy, on his feet when everybody else was. Amen. Testify. I said, wow. I don't want to get too excited yet because I ain't seen the light come on. I'm waiting for the light. You know, and a pastor, a man of God can just look out there and know. Know when somebody's getting it and when they're not. And when they're not, it makes you go back and go over it again. And run it by a third time. Say, hey, by the way. And finally, you can get to a point coming down right. I'm talking to you. Duh. It's you. Finally, he got all crossed up a little bit and messed up. So I went downstairs and he's coming in the front door. Said, whoop, stop right here. I said, as of right now, write the date down, sir. I'm not pastoring you no more. He said, oh no, don't say that. Duh. I'm not pastoring you no more. Well, what am I going to do? I said, I don't care. Go find you a pastor that preaches in the dark. But I'm tired of you sitting in here never getting it. Praise the Lord. You can charge me, but it's been quite a few years. From 12 to 35, it's been a few years trying to get his wires connected. And in the process, amen, he was hindering other folks from getting their wires connected. Oh yeah, I've got some scripture for that too. But the whole thing was, there's people sitting right around him. He said, well, I don't understand why you preach. I said, why does everybody else understand? There's 10 people sitting next to you. Their light comes on and you stay in the dark. Duh! Why don't you wake up? Get the concept. Get the message. Come on, somebody praise him right now. Somebody praise him. Ha ha! God, turn the light on. God, we need help. We need understanding. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Hallelujah to God. Jesus was constantly, Jesus was on a mission. And his mission was from the Father. Not another God either. But he was on a mission from the Father. And his mission was to somehow accomplish what the Father sent him to do and transmit that mission into some disciples. Now, Jesus had no problem saying, my light's on. Because he said, I am the light of the world. After all, you know, I was there when I said, let there be light, and there was, I am the light. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But what I'm going to try to do is give you some cutting edge information to connect some wires. And when I get done, I want to see your light come on. Not standing around with a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrites and holler, duh, duh, come on, get with it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody. I'm telling you, men. I'm telling you, men. God's looking for somebody when the light comes on. Don't sit around saying, what's he going to say? God, let it shine on me. Hook me up. Put me together. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Whew. So Jesus spent his entire ministry trying to transmit a concept to his disciples. Amen. And many times it was a frustration. You know, to me, Jesus was a master teacher. I mean, there's nobody that could exemplify the teaching profession better than he could. He was a master teacher, master leader. He was the master. Praise the Lord about it. Praise the Lord. He knew how. And so nobody was more qualified. And you know, there's nothing more beautiful than to sit in the presence of a master. And listen to cutting edge information. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. My brother-in-law has just went through his fourth open heart surgery this year, 37 years old. And he might be coming home by today or tomorrow from his fourth open heart surgery. Been a miracle that he's even alive. But the whole thing was his doctor got frustrated because my brother-in-law had a high blood pressure problem. And so he just got tired of taking high blood pressure pills one day. And the doctor said, you never stop taking this medication to keep your blood pressure under control. But he got busy. He knew what the doctor said. The doctor was a master in cardiovascular medical field. And he knew his business. He had certificates. He had experience. He had all the credentials and the training. And all he said was, just be sure you take this blood pressure medicine every day. And every day, he said, well, maybe he was trusting God. No, I know the light didn't come on that good. Hallelujah. It wasn't that he didn't, you know, he did believe God could do it, but that was not it. It's just that he just got tired of fooling with him and just did disregard. And one day, getting ready for church, his main aorta bursted on him, exploded inside his chest. He got within 2 hours of death, and that's I won't go into all the story, but four open heart surgeries later, and kidneys are gone. Doctor said the other day, you'll be on antibiotics the rest of your life. Dialysis 3 times a week. Left leg partially functional. 37 years, I mean a man's man. 300 pounds, 6'2", brother, hard worker, labor, and worked hard all his life. And now he's in a wheelchair and on a walker, and he just doesn't know if he's going to make it. All because he let the light go out on some critical information. Praise the Lord. See, the devil, all he wants to do is get you sidetracked long enough to unplug you. And once you get unplugged, you may never get plugged back up again. I want God to know I'm glad to be in this church. I'm glad to be doing what I'm glad to be called apostolic. I'm glad to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I'm glad that He moved on me one more time. I'm glad He's still talking to me. And I want to get the message. Somebody clap your hands on the Lord and praise Him right now. You may be sitting. Now he has more than just high blood pressure medicine to take. He's got a list of medications he has to take at certain hours, certain times of every day. And he's paranoid that he doesn't forget one piece, one part, one instruction of every daily medication. Amen. The light came on. The light came back on after near tragedy and death. Oh God, you know what? What does God have to do to us to get us from being duh? You know, we are supposed to be the apple of God's eye. We are the arms, the feet, the body, the voice, the hands. We are, now He said, I was the light of the world. Now you are the lights of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'll be the light. But when I'm out of here, guess what? You're going to be the light. Nothing probably frustrates heaven more than look down and see us sitting here and nobody's light on. More worried about what we're going to do when this service is over than if God comes down and puts a special touch of anointing and learning in our hearts. Set us on fire, God. Give me the message. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be so good. Hallelujah. I remember one time wanting to learn a concept in accounting back in my senior year of high school. And I was trying to grasp some accounting concepts. I was having a struggle with it. Other kids in the class were picking it up. My light was out. Theirs was on. And I said, I can't go much further and get through this. So I went up and asked the teacher, who was very qualified. And I said, would you mind if I come in after school for a few nights? And you spend some extra time with me? I got to get this. I got to get this. And he said, I'd be more than glad to, Don. Come on by after a certain time. Man, for weeks, 2 or 3 weeks straight, every night, about an hour and a half, we'd sit there and he'd put those concepts and those things by me. Until finally I said, hey, thank you, I got it. I had to work harder than some of them did, but I wasn't going to get through school and not get it. Here we are living at the coming of the Lord. It's time for the Lord to come. The fields are white unto harvest. There's souls out there dying and go to hell. And we are responsible to get a hold of something and try to reach somebody and show them that in a dark world, we got a light that burns bright. We got the message. We got the concept. We got the power. Somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him. Somebody say, I've got it. Ooh, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Teaching one afternoon, a man, praise the Lord, at our church, and had to cover some material that was kind of a little heavy. Amen. Not deep, I said heavy. I'm not a deep preacher. Just get heavy once in a while. Praise the Lord. And so, one man hollers, I said, that's a hard statement, Elder. I said, it might be hard, but you stay till it gets soft. If you leave and don't get this, you're going to be messed up. Amen. There's certain things we don't do. There's certain things we do. And there's certain things that have to happen to make this apostolic church be what God wants it to be. And we're not trying to mimic and ape nobody else's program or concept. But God has given us a revelation and a cutting edge piece of information. And we could have church like nobody could have church. And you don't have to have mechanical music if you don't have none. All you got to have is an anointing of the Holy Ghost sweep down through the house. And somebody say, "Hey, Pastor, I got it." God, I'm talking to you. You may be seated. So the Lord, you know, He put up with all that and trying to tell His disciples, amen, to watch Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these 12 disciples watched Jesus every day. Here's what they found out. This guy is powerful. What kind of man is this? They found out in their association with Jesus, praise the Lord, that He could heal any disease that existed. Amen. It had to be awesome. Better than good, I guess. It had to be awesome. I think it would be. You see Jesus go by and just touch a man that had blinded eyes and his eyes open and he see. Stick his finger in a deaf man's ear and his ears open up. To tell some people, put water in them water pots and the water turns to wine. To stop a funeral procession coming down the road and saying, "Lady, why are you crying? My only son's being buried." "Well, stop right now. Sir, get up. Your mother's crying. Get out of that coffin, son. Get on home." And he gets up out of a coffin and walks home. A man named Jairus walks up and says, "Sir, Master, my daughter is sick unto death, dying. And before he gets to her house, she's dead." And the Lord said, "No, she's only sleeping." Walks in and says, "Arise, daughter." And walks a dead girl back out of the house alive and breathing. That had to be awesome. You may be seated. A fellowship meeting on the mountainside. Jesus says, "It's time to feed them. What have we got?" "So we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All we got in the crowd, so give it to me." He starts praying and breaking the bread and fish. And it grows out of his hand. He feeds with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Amen. 5,000 men plus the women. Did you tell me? And the 12 disciples got to see all of that happen. On a storm, he just stepped out in the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the seas obeyed his voice. These 12 men seen all that. You know what they said? "This Jesus has power like no one else has ever had." Then in all, they said, "This Jesus has position too. Because we know He's not just a man. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. The Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ." He's got a position. He's got, man, power. But what they never seen was this. They never saw Jesus use His power or His position to control people. And that's where our light goes out. Duh. Praise the Lord. God never gave us power or position to control people. That's what the Gentiles do, He says. They exercise authority over others and control people. Become control freaks and manipulators of men and women. But He says, the power I give you ain't going to do that. It's going to give you power to do the opposite. To be a servant to everybody and minister. Duh. They had the hardest time getting that. It was like, duh. They got frustrated. "Hey, Jesus, when are you going to bring this kingdom in? Tired of these Romans around here and these bunch of Pharisees. Let's go ahead, Jesus, get them. Sick them. Man, you got the power. I've seen you do things. And you got the position. And while they watched all this, they never did see him use his power or position to manipulate or control anybody. And it frustrated them. But it was, duh. The power you're going to get is not to give you control. It's to give you power to serve. He loved all of us. Now, let me tell you something. Every day that Jesus lived, read it in your Gospels, he served. And with his power and his position, he never lived, oh, this is going to be a little tough right now, the good life. Had a young man come up one, he'd been growing up in church, and, you know, he's looking at preachers, and he said, I'm going to be a preacher, man. I'm going to be a preacher. I got to get me a suit. Got to get the right kind of suit and the right kind of shoes and shoe shine and get my tie just right. Amen. I got to get the walk just right. Amen. My eyes are okay, but I better get me a pair of glasses so I can reach over and do this once in a while. Amen. I watched him do all that, and I'm trying to tell you, I said, somebody that God wants to raise up some young men. He's sitting over there like, duh, your light's out, boy. I'm not talking to you. Finally, I ignored him. He said, Brother Meade, can I talk to you? I said, sure. He said, what do you think about me being a preacher? I said, well, that's a good ambition, son. You really think you want to be a preacher? Think you're called? Say, yeah, I think God's calling me to preach. I said, then I'm going to help you learn something. I said, I want you to be the next one to start cleaning the commodes in the church. You're going to be the next janitor. You're going to be the new janitor. He looked at me like I fell out of a tree. And when I said that, I was waiting to see the light come on. Duh. Duh. He looked at me and said, what? Clean the commode? Be a janitor? I think you misunderstood me, Brother Meade. I said, I want to preach. I heard what you said. I'm not deaf. Duh. I owned a Midas Mumper shop for 8 years, and back in the late 70s, early 80s, and my son was just a boy growing up. Terry Daly, a little old fellow then. But he loved to come down there and watch Dad run that Midas Muffler shop. I'd get behind the counter, have me a cup of coffee. I'd be telling them mechanics, you go get this job, you go do that. And I'd go back, sit in that office, prop my feet up, and look at some financial reports. He'd come in there and say, get me. He got him a chair, and he'd prop his feet up. He said, boy, Dad, just think. When I get out of school, this is where I'll be. I said, come with me. Took him out in that old greasy muffler shop. Man, all kind of tools, air hoses, dirt and grime around. Waited till they went back here and I found a broom, big old push broom. It was twice his height. I said, now what I'm going to do, son, I said, I'm going to buy you one your size. And what I want you to do instead of what, I want you to go here and learn how to push this. He said, Dad, but you own this thing. I'm the owner's son. I said, yeah, you sure are. And if you ever think you'll be the owner, and you'll be in that desk where I'm at, you'll learn to push this broom, and you'll learn to do everything everybody else has ever done in this shop. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. So the young man looked at me and wanted to preach. He said, brother, he said, it's just burning in me. I got a burning desire. I said, until you get a burning desire to clean this church, you ain't called to preach. A preacher's got to know how to push a broom and how to run a vacuum cleaner. He got to know how to... Oh, yes. You got to know a whole lot more than standing up there adjusting your glasses and making sure your lapels are hanging right. And you got the walk and the look. You've got to learn how... So I want you to go out and start doing some door knocking. I want you to pass out some tracts on Saturday. Well, I ain't never done that. I said, that's the problem. You may be seated. Long story short, he couldn't take all that. He finally jumped ship and went to where somebody would recognize his calling. And he's running around the country preaching right now. And I wouldn't preach him if he was the last preacher running around the country. Because he ain't called to preach. He ain't never prayed nobody through the Holy Ghost. He never respected the preacher. Put his finger in my face. Told me that my ministry was idiocy and stupidity. And walked out of that church. Went down somewhere else. They picked him up. And he's traveling across the country preaching. That's all right. Ain't going to preach in my place. I still don't think he's a preacher. He might know how to say a few words. Copy a few sermons. Shout and holler, adjust his lapel and steal his glasses, but he ain't a preacher. His light's not on. It's God. God ain't using no egotistical, self-called, self-promoted. He wants somebody that gets the message. I'll serve. I'll serve. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Come on, somebody praise him right now. Praise God. All he wanted was to be able to drive the right kind of car, sit on certain platforms and do certain things. That's all he wanted. But he ain't never prayed nobody through the Holy Ghost. He ain't never got a burden for nobody. He never taught a Bible study, never knocked the door. Somebody says, it may not have to be important in your situation, but for me, that's how it works in Apostolic Temple. So when I preach and teach, I look out at my men. And I'm waiting for some lights to come on. Somebody walk up after church. Man, it's exciting. I said, brother, me. I got it. And you know when they really do it. Because the light comes on. I've had some say, I said, duh. You ain't got nothing. One man said he thought he had an unction or something. I said, I want you to go on a 10-day fast. He said, oh, Elder, just forget I ever said that. He wasn't wanting that light to come on, brother. You have to miss too many happy meals, praise God. Duh. It's service. The concept. Understand. And we are living in an environment where we hear cutting edge information. Men, you're blessed. To sit in a church with the kind of pastor you have that brings through ministry. Put you on a pew, put you on a seat. Oh, look what advantage you have in God. You ought to praise in the depths of your heart, from the bottom of your soul. Let me just bring one more thing. You may be seated. Jesus never lived a good life. Not just enough, Jesus never did. He never did with power and position. He never did this either. For your FYI. Duh. Okay? He never destroyed his enemies. I've had a little trouble with that. I've been trying to talk God and let me destroy a few, but he says, you just sit down. That's none of your business. I said, God, we get the National Guard, we'll get them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Get the big guns out, praise God. He said, no, you just settle down. I like what one preacher said. It might have been one of the preachers that are here, but said one time, there's two things God will never allow you to have. And one is He'll never let you have vengeance. Because that belongs to God. Second thing He'll never let us have is His glory. Because no flesh will ever glory in His presence. They belong to God. They belong to God. So, with His power and His position, He never destroyed His enemies. If you're not careful, you'll get to thinking you're powerful enough to really... And I've had preachers do this now. They get up and they say, "Oh yeah, let me my turn to preach. All right, boy. Woo." Then if you don't give them a chance to preach sometimes, they'll do it in their testimony, see? They're going to get somebody, you know. They're going to get somebody. They're going to tell them off. Praise the Lord. No. You don't do that. Jesus never destroyed His enemies. And boy, the disciples wanted Him to. In fact, they got involved one time and said, "God, Jesus, if you'll let us, we'll call fire down from heaven. We'll kill that dude over there." He said, "Shut up. Duh. You don't know what kind of spirit you're of. But God, duh. Get your hand." And Peter got involved one time. He got a little rambunctious, brother, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He pulled his sword out, cut off the servant's ear. And Jesus said, "Duh. Pick the ear up. Put it back on." Now, if you don't think Peter wasn't frustrated with that, "I'm trying to help you, Lord." And that's what frustrates the master sometimes. It's us trying to help him. When he knows how to do his job better and we know how to tell him how to do it. Well, it's true anyhow. With His power and His position, He never destroyed and He never exalted Himself. Never. When He talked about the works, He said, it's not me. It's the works. It's my Father that's in me. He gave credit to the Father that was in Him. The works that I do is because of the Father that's in me. That's how He gave Him credit. He just served. And most of the times He served the defeated and the disadvantaged. And they couldn't get that in their head. Mark 9, you can read it for yourself. Jesus was coming back to Capernaum. And when He reached the house, He'd heard His disciples talking. He knew what they were talking about. He asked them a question. He said, Hey, fellas. What was y'all talking about as we was walking over here to Capernaum?" They didn't want to tell Him. They really didn't want to tell Him. They did not answer His question. Hallelujah. They was discussing which of them was the greatest. Well, who's the most important? I think, who's the greatest one of us? They was talking behind His back. He said, what was y'all talking about? "Oh, we just talking." Duh, I'm the master. John, you don't get it, do you? There is no greatest. Because he that would be greatest among you, he that would be greatest, must be least or servant of all. Somebody say, praise the Lord. They should have said, "I got it." But they didn't. They didn't understand it. Before the crucifixion. They didn't understand it during the crucifixion. And they didn't understand it after the crucifixion. When the understanding finally came in on them, it's when the Holy Ghost came. When the Holy Ghost came. One of my favorite mottos and my candy stick cliche is this: perception is everything. I go to seed on this because I went into a big, my daughter worked in a major grocery chain store. I went back to see her in the employer's conference room, about as big as this auditorium. And all across the wall was a big banner, and that's what it said on that banner: perception is everything. I got
out of nowhere. I said, that ain't about right.
That is right.
I said, Tammy, that'll preach.
Some employees stopped beating their baloney sounds. They told me, what's he doing? I said, man, do y'all see that?
I said, whoever put that up there knew that's the truth. Perception is everything.
You got to be able to get. The light's got to come on. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord, to get the message. And even right up in Matthew chapter 20, after all of that, Jesus is coming along, and a lady runs up to him and says, hey, Jesus, I want to ask you something. And happened to be the mother of a couple of the disciples. I said, what do you want? I said, oh, I said, you know, Jimmy and Johnny, said, my two boys, said, you know, I know, man, you're great. You're going to have a kingdom. But when you get there, would you put Jimmy on the right and Johnny on the left? Duh. You don't get it. And it made the other 10 guys mad. They didn't get it. They're mad because she's trying to get her boys in the position they wanted. Duh. I'm telling you, but we got to get this duh business taken care of. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if there's going to be a duh in your church, don't let it be you.
There's got to be a duh in your pew. Don't let it be you. You be the person in your church, man, that says, hey, preacher, you teach it, I get it. I'll stay here till the light comes on. I'll come back, you teach it again. Preach to me again. Tell me again. Rebuke me again. Talk to me again. Duh. Get on up here. Get the light on. God wants to give us some help. Lift your hands right now.
Men of this men's retreat, I challenge you in the name of Jesus. Young people here, young men, listen to me. You live in a world that's so dumbed down. It's dumb, dumber, dumbest, dumb, dumber, dumbest, dumber, dumber, dumber. It's dumbed down, it's duh, it's lights out. Nobody's paying attention, nobody's getting a message, but it ain't going to be that way with us. We got a revelation, we got master teachers, master preachers, we got the Holy Ghost, we got the power of God to turn the light on and tell our preacher and tell God, God, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. Come on, somebody cry out to the Lord right now. I turn this service back over to the platform in Jesus' name. Why don't everybody march up front, lift your hands, and ask God to turn the light. Come on, men, let's march up here in the front. Lift your hands in the air. Everybody walk up the front and say, God, let it shine on me. Turn the light on, God. I don't want to be a God. I want the message. I want the concept. I want Jesus to breathe on me right now.
shine on me. Let it shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Oh, let it shine on me. Let it shine.
It is the will of God that we grow up in Him till we be conformed into His image. Amen. I don't want to be in the church for 10, 20, or longer years and just come to realize that I'm only repeating the first year, that I haven't grown, that I haven't. Amen. Well, the preaching can get personal. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Brother Meade. God has talked to us tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, just about when you think that the Lord has come at you from every direction, then He comes at you from another direction. In fact, when Brother Bass came around over there, I said, let's see you find a song to go with that. But he did. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.